Amazing Grace.
Yes, sir.
I come to you this afternoon giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God.
Yes.
Certainly the head of my life, me and mine.
Yes.
Recognize my pulpit associates, Brother McMillan, Minister Riley,
yes,
my lovely wife, beautiful, beautiful church family.
Yes.
It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility.
Yes.
To stand before you and profess the word of God.
Yes.
Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for I will have nothing to say until you come. Speak, Lord, for someone is waiting. Speak, Lord, for someone needs a special word. Speak, Lord, for someone needs a touch, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Speak, Lord, for someone needs to be reassured that you are there.
Yes, sir, God.
Speak, Lord. Somebody is in need. Speak, Lord, for we all need a word.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I ask, Lord God, for you to use me. This worthless vessel, Lord God. But as I submit, Lord God, use me, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
To speak a word. Oh, Lord, we call on you.
Yes,
we count on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of different ways, but this week and then this morning, and a whole lot of different things going on, but I thank God that He knows what He's doing.
Yes. 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 So glad He does.
If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Controversial letter that some say that Paul wrote, some say the author is unknown. And in my study, I actually ran across somebody that said that Luke wrote it and
all right.
Hebrew and Paul translated to Greek or vice versa. I think that it was Paul, so we'll, I think it was Paul's letter to the Hebrews. But anyway, we're coming out of the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And I just want to read the first verse and then I'm going to get down to the text that we'll be using this morning. And keep in mind, if you're making notes, that you have 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25, and 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. 13, 1 says, let brotherly love continue, and do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. And then go down to verse 9. It says, be not carried away or carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Verse 10 says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And I'm going to stop there because the 10th verse is going to primarily be our text for today. We have an altar where they have no right to eat, which serves the temple. This altar is the cross, the centerpiece of the Christian gospel. And in our understanding, our centerpiece is the cross of Christ. we've been in Bible study around here for the last month or so, talking about guidelines for the people of God. That's what we're doing today, basically contrasting or looking at the relationship between the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God. But we all are the people of God. And some Bible said we established that fundamentally we are the same as the people of God in the Old Testament. And they were called for the same reason we were. The people of God were to be a light to the nations. Often they did not go out from the nation, but those who wished to know and to serve God came to Israel to embrace God along with his people. In particular, people were to come to Jerusalem to seek God and to worship him. That's Old Testament. In this age, the people of God have been called to go outside of the camp, as the Lord did. And the church was not commanded to go to Jerusalem, but from Jerusalem. So we're called to go out with the gospel. And so doing, God promised to be present with us. This morning in Sunday school, we established something that, you know, our outward activities seal in our hearts what we believe. So the way you carry yourself, what you do is who you are. The Sunday school lesson point, they said if somebody come by and see your car parked outside in front of the church, they know that this is where you would rather be than somewhere else. Is that right? I tell people all the time, you can follow a person's checkbook to see where their heart is. If you look at the checkbook and if there's no checks going to the church or some other worthy cause, then that's not where that person's heart is. So what we're trying to do this morning, what God has tasked me with, he says that he wants us to understand that our outer actions reveal our inner theology.
All right.
So what do you really believe as God's people? What do you really believe? I'm going to ask you three questions this morning. Number one, do we know what we profess to believe?
All
right. Make sure you got that just the way I said it. Do we know what we profess to believe as people of God? See, you don't have to run around running your mouth. And what you claim to be.
All right now.
If you claim to be a Christian, it says you believe certain things, or you profess to believe certain things. So, and some people, some Christians don't even know what they profession is.
All right now.
Number two, second question is, do we really believe what we profess? And then the third question is, does our profession result in power?
All right.
Can't do no more than you out in the street. You come and profess God and you become a Christian. If you can't do no more than you've done when you're in the street, you must be missing something.
Can you say that last one again?
Does our profession result in power? Does our profession result in power? So number one, do we know what we profess to believe? How much of what we do is tradition, and how much is belief?
Come on, say so now.
And look, Let me not get ahead of myself. No further ahead of myself. Let me give you a title to write down. Tis the season.
Tis the season.
Because that's what we're doing. We want to know, we want to understand what this season is all about. Tis the season. But how much is tradition and how much is belief?
Come on now.
I'm going to divert just a little bit here. But I read somewhere it said, it's a small church, and when they would sing, everybody would get up and turn and face the wall. And they would sing a song. And some little boy asked them one day, why do we turn and face the wall? And they started researching because nobody knew why they were turning and facing the wall. And what they found out is when they dug back into history, that's where they used to write the words at. Mm-hmm. They didn't have song books, so they used to write the words on the wall. That's how we get caught up in tradition. We think we're doing something. We think that we are worshiping God because we turn and face the wall. And it has nothing to do with anything. So as a Christian, we have to look at ourselves and say, what is it that I profess to believe? Do I even know?
Yes.
Tis the season. This is the Advent season. And let me tell you a little bit about Advent so you know, if you don't already know. But the Advent season lasts for 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas. And at that time, the new Christian year begins with the 12-day celebration of Christmas time, which lasts from Christmas Eve until Epiphany on January 6th. Advent begins on the Sunday that falls between November 27th and December 3rd each year. Now, what is this symbolic of? What is Advent season? We've gone and commercialized it like we have everything else. But what is this Advent season? What are we supposed to be doing? This season is supposed to symbolize the situation of the church in these last days. Let me show you something here real quick.
All right.
You see, when the old church, the people from the Old Testament, look at Acts 2:17, it covers them. It talks about the last days. And 2:17 said, it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. The people in the Old Testament were looking back to what God had done,
right,
and looking forward to God's Son.
Yes.
During this period, this is Advent. They were waiting. This is the period that they were in. And we, like the people of the Old Testament, are in the same similar situation. If you look at Hebrew 1 and 2, it says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things. So in other words, what we do in the Advent season, we look back at Jesus' birth. He's already been born. And we look back at his birth and what it did, and we look forward to his coming again.
Amen.
The Advent season for you Christians, so you know at least what we are celebrating when we go out celebrating this season, when somebody asks you. Now, let me show you something else that most Christian churches, very few Christian churches that don't believe in some form of the Apostles' Creed. This is because you say you're Christian, and different people have different versions of the Apostles' Creed, but all have basically 13 points, and I want to cover them all. It won't take long. But I want you to hear me as I say, because this is what you profess to believe.
Yes.
I believe in God Almighty.
Yes.
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
Yes.
I believe that he was born of the Holy Ghost and Virgin Mary.
Yes.
I believe that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate and they buried him.
Yes.
I believe that he, on the
third day,
got up with all power in his hand.
Yes.
And I believe that he ascended into heaven.
Yes.
And I believe that he sitteth right now on the right hand of the Father.
Yes,
that,
yes. Thank you, God.
Yeah, y'all better be with me. This is what Christians are professing.
Yeah.
And I believe that he will one day judge the living and the dead.
Yes.
I believe in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I believe in the Holy Church.
Jesus.
Some people he say universal church. That's not what we believe in. We believe in the Holy Church. We believe in the Church of Almighty God.
Yes.
We believe in the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
We believe in the resurrection of the body.
Yes.
And we believe in life everlasting.
Yes.
Do you know what you profess to believe?
Oh, yes.
If I need a copy of that, make sure you get one. Because that's what you, as a Christian, when you walk around, when somebody see you, that's what they're seeing. That's what Christians believe. If you don't believe that, then you are not a Christian.
All right then.
Is that right? I ain't make none of this up. So, do you know what you profess to believe? And then, number two, do we really believe what we profess by being Christians? Do we really believe, now that we know what we profess, do we really believe it as God's people? Do you believe who the Bible says he is? Do you know who Jesus is?
Yes.
Do you believe with your energies, with all your heart, do you believe what we profess to believe as Christians? Not by what I say, but by who I am. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm one of God's people. But by the very implications of who I claim to be, it says what I believe in.
Yes.
So, do you believe that, as the Bible says, that Jesus is God in the flesh? The second person of the Trinity. That's John 1:1 and John 14 and Colossians 2:9. But do you believe that as Jesus is God in the flesh?
Yes.
Do you believe that God is the great I am?
Yes.
That's what Exodus 3:14 and John 8:58 says. Do you believe that he is the Savior that was born of a virgin?
Yes.
Old Testament Isaiah 7:14 predicted that he would be.
Yes.
Who died and they buried him and he rose from the dead. And
yes.
When he rose, he had all power in his hand. Do you believe?
Yes.
Use your imagination, just imagine the God that we served. Do you believe that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life? Did you hear that statement? The way, the truth, and the life. If I can just hold on to that when I'm going through something, that Jesus is the way. If I can find Jesus, no matter what I might be in, it can bring me out, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe what you are professing? Only by the name of Jesus might a person be saved, not by what Reverend Davis teaches, what Reverend Davis preaching, but only by Jesus can a person be saved. Only.
Yes. Hallelujah, God.
Jesus.
Do you believe?
Yes.
What you professing?
Yes.
And all who do not trust in him alone for the forgiveness of their sins will be judged.
All right. Oh, yes.
Do you believe that? That's Matthew 25 and 41.
Mm-hmm. I believe.
Jesus is both God and man. Mm. That's a tough one, isn't it?
Jesus.
God and man, Colossians 2, 9, 1 Timothy 2, 5, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. But God, Jesus is God and man at the same time.
Yes.
Some will get it tangled up and say, and try to separate it, but God, Jesus was God fully.
Yes.
And man fully at the same time. We try to get this human mind wrapped around it. How can you be two full people at the same time? But the God we serve.
Oh, yes.
Do you believe? See, when you start looking at it, you say, well, that's above my head. But thank God, you don't have to have the mind of God. You don't have to know everything that God knows. All you have to do is trust in God.
Yes.
The God that I serve can do a lot more than me, do a lot more than Minister Riley or Reverend MacMillan can do a lot more than we. Because if he couldn't,
Jesus,
then we don't need to serve him.
All right now.
He can't do no more than I can do.
Yes.
Do you believe we serve a God and man?
Yes.
Do you believe that he is our eternal intercessor?
Yes.
Thank you.
He mediates between me and my Father who is in heaven. If I am in him and he in me.
Yes.
Come on now.
As we did, I could ask what I will, because I'll get it because of the position I am in Jesus Christ. Do you believe?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Mediates our salvation
to
the Father. He says that he don't know what he's doing, or she don't know what she's doing, but let me help her out. Help him out, because if it were not for Jesus,
yes,
Lord,
where would I be?
Where would I be?
You ain't do no way.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Do you believe Jesus is who our Bible says that he is?
Yes.
Do you believe what the Bible say he's done?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Do you believe that he gave himself for you and me? His body was given for you.
Yes.
Do you believe that he gave himself for our sins?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's Galatians 1 and 4.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
He died in my stead.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
That I can be free. All I have to do is trust in God and he can set me free. And
yes, sir. Jesus.
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
Do you believe in a Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us to himself a peculiar people? Titus 2:14. Redeemed us, he said. He bought us. He purchased us.
Yeah.
He,
oh, yes.
He said they in more trouble than they can get out of. So I'm going to come and die in their stead so that I can pay the price that they owe.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Do you, hallelujah. Do you believe that God has set you free because...
Yes.
He paid the price. He said, I don't care. People might hold it against you, but he says, I don't care what you have done. If you can trust in me, I can redeem you to my Father.
Yes.
Come on there.
Woo. Thank you, God.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Body was given for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
1 John 5:11 says that, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All you got to do is believe.
Believe.
Only
believe.
Hallelujah. He said, because you can't do anything else. All you can do is believe. When you try to do something yourself, you can't do it. But if you're in Christ, then you can do all things.
All things.
Yeah.
All things.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
What he's done for you.
Yes.
Do you believe that he shed his blood for you and he shed his blood for me?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Matthew 26:28 says, for this is my blood of the New Testament.
Yes.
Old Testament, when God's people had another covenant, but he said, I know what they were trying to do. Their job was to look forward to one who could set them free. And our job is to look back to one who has already set us free.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Woo, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He shed his blood.
Yes,
he He came and did something that I couldn't do for myself.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's what this table is all about this morning.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then... the third, final point, final question. Does our profession result in power?
Yes.
Paul gave you the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received.
Yes.
How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And see, Paul was smart. Somebody mentioned Paul earlier, but Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And you see, it's too many people that will use this pulpit to give you what they want to say.
Yes.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Then let me be one who tell you that if somebody gets here and speaks a word that they didn't receive.
All right.
Now.
All right.
Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
You see, because this world likes for you just make up something. Somebody will listen, but you need to have gotten it from somebody. This is the gospel, and if you're not repeating the gospel, then you're wasting somebody's time. There's nothing that I can say that has any power. The power is in the gospel. That the gospel is that God sent his son.
Yes.
They called him Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
He came, he lived, he bled and he died. But he got up with all power in his hand. And if you can believe the gospel, you can find power.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Jesus, thank you.
Paul said, I'm preaching what I received.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir, God.
If I didn't receive it, then you don't need to listen to it. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Yeah.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir, God.
Listen to Paul put it another way. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. But also in power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. Hallelujah. In other words, the gospel is not a matter of mere words. The gospel is power. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. I'm quoting him directly. He said, notice that the preacher does not make the gospel. If he makes it, it's not worth you having. Originality in preaching, if it be originality in the statement of doctrine, is falsehood. We are not makers and inventors. We are repeaters.
Come on now.
Y'all get that preaching? Hallelujah. We are repeaters. All I know is Jesus and him crucified. That's what Paul preaches. I don't know anything but Jesus and him crucified. And that in itself is power.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Yes.
Nothing else.
He finished his quote by saying, we tell the message that we received.
Yes, we tell the message. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
The message of Jesus Christ has power. The message of Jesus has power for miracles. You're looking for a miracle. You need to find out what you believe. Do you really believe it when you get on your knees and you pray for God to intervene in your life? Are you expecting him to do something?
Yes.
If you can't believe it, then you can't receive it. What do you believe? What do you really believe? The message of Jesus Christ, it can change minds. I heard a testimony this morning when you go into a situation and you take God with you, don't try to make sense, your human sense, how God's going to fix it. Just go in thinking that God can fix it, and God will fix it.
Yes, he will.
He can change minds. He can change hearts. He can change lives. There's power in the blood.
The blood of Jesus.
Do you have power
right now. Holy Ghost.
Are you still going through the same changes, letting the world beat you down and
yes.
hold you underfoot? Or
yes.
Can you get up?
Yes.
Struggling through when I heard another testimony said, ever since I've been walking this road to glory, then yes. something that rose up and, yes. and starts to fight against yes. me, but it's all right. It don't matter what's fighting against you, because the God I serve can yes. take me through it all. I gotta do is just hold on
yes.
to God's
yes.
unchanging hand, because yes. that power
yes. Yes.
in the blood.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
I don't have to worry about
yes.
people talking about me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Saying things about me and all, and yes. doing things to me, because I got yes. power. All I got to do is hold on.
Hold on.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Mm. When I smile,
mm.
and smile, the world didn't give me the smile, so
yeah.
the world might knock it off my face, but
yeah.
it'll come back if I hold on to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I get down just like everybody else, but I ain't gonna stay down
right.
because I call on the Lord and He'll lift me up
yes.
because
yes.
there's power.
Oh, yes.
Thank
yes.
you,
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on.
It depends on your belief. What do you really believe?
Yes.
Does your belief result in power?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't let the world pin you down and hold you back.
Yes.
Because I got power.
Yes, sir.
I got power.
Yes.
I got power.
Yes.
Wonder working power.
Yes.
That's right.
I might be penniless.
Yes.
No money.
Jeez.
I might not even have a change of
yes.
clothes, but it really doesn't
yes.
matter
yes.
because
yes.
I got a God.
God. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
That can
yes.
bring me out of it all.
Come on.
Yes.
That's power. Power. Wonder working
power.
The precious blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All you got to do is believe.
Yes.
When you come to this table this morning, it's not about what's up here.
Yes.
See, we borrowed that from the Bible bookstore.
Yes.
That's a wafer and juice. That's all it is. It's in a container, but it's what it represents.
Come on, man.
Yes.
There you
yes.
go. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
you see, when I come, I'm going to come confessing, Lord, I didn't dot every I, I didn't cross every T, I didn't do everything right, Lord. I need forgiveness, Lord. And I'm coming, and symbolically, I'm going to eat your body and drink your blood, and I'm going to come out of it all clean and fresh and renewed, and I'm going to leave with power.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. A new person. Brand new. Start afresh. That's power. In the blood. Tis the season. I think the songwriter says to be jolly. But it is the season to claim the victory. It is the season. If you've been having a hard time.
Yes.
To say, Lord, I know that you are near. I know that you are there. I know that you have all power in your hand. Lord, all I need to do in this Advent season is submit to you.
That's it.
And expect.
Yes.
Tis the season.
Yes.
For miracles.
Yes, my God.
Tis the season.
Yes.
To overcome.
Oh, yes.
Trials and tribulations.
Yes.
Tis the season to be set free.
Oh, yes.
To worship Him.
Yes.
Tis the season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord,
for your Father.
This season.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord,
thank
for
you, Jesus.
Your Son.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for the one that should be represented by this season.
Yes, sir, God.
Thank you, Lord, for having sent your Son.
Yes,
that if we can just follow his example,
Lord, yes,
and believe in him, then we can be set free.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we just thank you right
thank
now.
You, Lord.
We thank you for the season.
Yes, sir, God.
We look forward to
yes.
the celebration of your Son being born.
Yes.
And we look forward
yes.
to the celebration
Jesus.
Of him coming
thank
again.
Lord, yes.
It's all in your hands, Lord. We trust you.
Jesus.
We love you.
Yes.
It's in Jesus' name we pray.